What's up, everybody? Been a few days. Got to get on here and do our thing, right? If you have been living under a rock, come on out. Come take a look at the sun. Don't hurt your eyes with the eclipse and the eclipse media. And, you know, check out Cage Six. We're on a damn roll. All right, guys, listen. I'm going to start this off with a fun one. I had a great relationship with my dad before he had a better relationship with mayonnaise and decided to leave the planet. He was a big fat guy, kind of like me. He once told me something that stuck with me. I never really understood it. I kind of still don't understand it. Maybe one of you guys can, you know, tell me, you know, what it is. But, you know, he once told me that I asked him, there was a McDonald's on a corner on a block, a couple blocks away from my house growing up. And a Burger King moved in directly across the street. So, like, they were staring at each other. You know, like, McDonald's had to look at Burger King. Burger King had to look at McDonald's. And boom, you know, it was right there. And he said, you know, I mean, my dad was not the smartest guy. He never really made enough money. And, you know, whatever money he had went to casinos. Be careful, C-Bliss. Scary stuff what happens. Anyway. But he did. He took, you know, he was always educating himself. He's always getting more education. Even when I was a kid, he still went back to college and got a master's degree. He got an MBA. You know, a believer in continuing to try to, you know, continue to educate yourself, continue to learn stuff. He said one of the business courses he tried to explain to me that was actually a smart move by Burger King to set up camp right next to your competition. I thought it was silly. Like, why would you do that? It's got to hurt. It'll hurt both, right? There's only so many hamburgers that can be eaten at that block. Why not move to the next neighborhood over and Burger King can have that neighborhood's hamburger eaters and McDonald's can have this neighborhood's hamburger eaters? Seems to make a lot of sense to me, right? Like there's enough burger eating to go around. And I think I was like six when we had this conversation. So I'll mess it up. And I never really looked it up. And I'm sure there's some, you know, business reason for this. But it's like, you know, you go where there's already an appetite for it. And you try to beat that current incumbent at their own game. You know there are people coming to that intersection for a burger. So you set up on that intersection because people are already coming there. And you give them a better burger. You maybe give them a less price alternative burger. Maybe you give them both. Maybe you give them a more, you know, a more complete menu. You give them something. And that way, when someone drives their car up the block and they're about to make that left for that McDonald's, they say, hey, wait a second. Burger King's going to give me the fries and the drink with my burger for $5 instead of going to McDonald's and just paying $5 for the burger. Or maybe it's, wait, Burger King's got that new, you know, bacon burger, whatever. I'm willing to pay more because they got all of these additional items on their menu. Or maybe you're making the left because you like the Grimace shake. I don't know. But why the hell am I talking about McDonald's and Burger King? Because Fanatics is doing this. And I'm sure they have a whole bunch of people with MBAs over there. It's something that I heard was happening a couple of months ago. If you guys remember way back, a lot of news, by the way. This isn't the only thing we're going to cover. We'll cover this. I also want to talk about gold and eBay. There's just so much stuff that's gone on this week. And very little of it has to do with the cards, which is an interesting little side note. But we'll get there, I promise. All right, it's short. But I'm sure there are business experts there who decided that this is the right thing to do. The summer is probably the best time to do this, but wow, what a crowded space. What a crowded space, right? It's an interesting thing. It really is. And you got the national that happens at the end of July. And you got East Coast National in August. You got the Burbank show there in August. You got a whole bunch of stuff going. I'm sure I'm missing some stuff there. But if you guys remember, Fanatics announced that they were starting this event. Fanatics Events. We haven't seen a Mint Collective in a year and change now, right? And that was sort of like, you know, Fanatics. It was an IMG and, you know, there's like all kinds of fun little intertwinings there. Cross your fingers. You know, I think there's room for Mint in this space, and I hope somebody brings that back. You know who I'm talking about. It's only one person, only one hobby hero who can do Mint. Anyway, we haven't heard anything about this. I was hearing rumblings a couple months ago. I did my Cage 6 on March 8th. It's now April 11th. And wouldn't you know it, today Fanatics announced exactly what I said they were going to announce. Doing a Fanatics Fan Fest show at the Javits Center in New York, the same exact days that the East Coast National is having their event. Now, that's in White Plains, right? The Fan Fest is in the Javits Center in the city. We can spend 20 minutes talking about the differences between the two. And the differences between the two might be enough, right? It's sort of like we talked about Burger King having a different menu, a fancier burger, you name it. The Fan Fest is exactly that. It's a Fan Fest. We don't have details yet. I'm sure there'll be cards there, right? I'm sure, you know, Tops will be doing their release of their cards, you name it. I'm sure there'll be athletes there. The East Coast National in White Plains is also going to have cards and signings, like athletes. Now, the type of athlete might be a little different. You know, the East Coast National might be more skewed, as it usually is, to, you know, maybe Rangers and Islanders, you know, or Mets and Yankees. They'll be, you know, in season at the time. Maybe some Giants and Jets. Your local, maybe some Knicks, right? But they've had other people there. I mean, it's where Ian and I got to meet Sean Kemp. They had Sean Payton there. They have legitimate athletes. Now, if you look at what Fanatics is throwing out there for a Fan Fest, Tom Brady's in the advertisement. I've never seen Tom Brady at the Westchester show. I don't know whether or not buying a ticket to Fan Fest at the Javits Center means that I'm going to meet Tom Brady. Most likely it doesn't, but he's going to be there. And I guess right now the thought is, we'll take it two ways. There's enough of a difference and distinction between the two that you're not vulturing the same folks, right? You're not forcing a choice between the two. If you're somebody who wants to, you know, have a traditional card show that weekend, you can go to the White Plains show. If you're somebody who's into more of a, you know, a Fan Fest type of thing where there's, you know, giveaways and corporate and, you know, you probably won't get to shake Kevin Durant's hand, but you'll see him walking by in the distance, maybe 50 people away from you. You're not going to be able to get to him or anything like that, but he'll be there. And you could say, hey, I saw Kevin Durant. I'm curious what you guys think. It's a three-day thing. Both of them are a three-day thing. I believe that there's that's enough that you could do both. You know, I think you can squeeze both in. Their geography is pretty easy. You could probably take the, you know, the Metro North up, and probably, I mean, if you wanted to, you probably do the same day. You do both. You spend a few hours in the morning, a few hours in the afternoon. It might be a bit much, but. It's possible. You could definitely split it up over a Saturday, Sunday, or a Friday, you name it. I'm just wondering the message it sends, right? Is it a warning shot across the bow, right? Because what we've heard here is Fanatics is looking to 10x the hobby. There are a lot of ways to do that. I have preached on this show many times that the way that I think you do it without trampling the garden that's already been built is to build upon the foundation that's already here. To be mindful of the roots that have already been placed by the card show runners, the people who run these card shows, by the collectors, by the stores, the distributors, the, you know, the hobby participants who have been here, the ones who were here in 2010, the ones who were here in 2000, the ones who were here in 2015, 16, 17, and 18, that when COVID happened and the boom happened And all of the seeds that were planted by those people made it possible for this to grow into a space that Fanatics went like this and actually looked at and said, I want to be in that space. Don't forget what made you turn your head and look at this space as a place you want to be in and operate. Because you can work with the folks who were here who are already doing a good job and kind of water that garden and watch it 10x. Or you can run in with the heavy machinery, tear it all up, and plant your own stuff. It becomes Thneedville. That may work out for a little while. I don't know whether it's a long-term success formula. I don't know whether or not they're looking for long-term success. Cage 6 tomorrow is going to give you another rumor that has something to do with new things that I'm hearing coming out that again correlate what we're seeing now in this boom cycle to what I saw back in the 90s. And it is eerily similar. And I hope we don't follow the same pattern of that boom growth and then collapse that we did back then. Anyway, so there's my thought. I'd love to hear what you guys think, right? I did a post on this, obviously, because, you know, now Cage 6 is right 2 days in a row, and I want to see what you guys think. I will tell you, I don't see an inherent problem with the two shows. I don't. I think at first blush, they look pretty different. They look pretty dissimilar. The guys who run the East Coast National, they're part of the team that's running the National itself. And I wonder whether or not this is not basically Fanatics saying, okay, this year we are going to set this up in New York against the East Coast National. If it's a success next year, we'll have our own National against the National. Be interesting. Be interesting. It's not something that hasn't been done before. So I'm more curious what you guys have to think, right? What you guys have to say, because listen, I know a lot of people who watch this are just collectors. You know, whatever, it is what it is. It doesn't impact my, I'm still buying my cards. To me, this is more of the business of hobby business. And I'm wondering whether or not you would do it the same way. I can't really fault it, right? I mean, this is the way that that business is done. You know, and Fanatics is not a pro bono company. They're in this to make money. So, interesting stuff. Listen, let's not completely crap on them. Some fun stuff this week. I mean, you know, Jackson Holiday coming up this week, and you know, that MLB debut patch is on there. I mean, I talked about it in my news this week. Some really cool stuff. That Million Cubs collector, if you haven't seen that story, that is like a hobby feel-good story, man. When Topps making a card for him and giving him like a one-of-one version of it while he's throwing out the first pitch at a Cubs game. I mean, that's like, you know, like – the guy just woke up one day as a Cubs fan and said, I'm going to try to get a million Cubs cards, and look where it's taken him. You know, that's like a real cool hobby story. And Fanatics through Topps has really, you know, really I put that guy on the map here. You know what I mean? And what they did was really cool. So there are, you know, there's some positive stuff going on. There definitely is a record sales of all kinds of items. Take a look at the news at 60 seconds. You guys will enjoy it, I'm sure. And thanks to everybody who shares that. You know, I think it's a really cool piece. I think anybody who's involved in the hobby in any way would enjoy getting a 60-second news once a week. Boom, you get it. So if you do watch it, share it with somebody. I would appreciate that. Next up, eBay, Golden, collectors. Another thing we predicted. Doesn't surprise me. It's, you know, hobby consolidation, right? It's, you know, there are some companies who do it themselves, and there are some companies who buy it out. And I remember, you know, just, you know, going back to the last topic, Fanatics Fan Fest, right? I remember, you know, the rumor mill a year or two ago was Fanatics is going to come in and buy shows. You know, they're going to buy the Dallas show. They're going to buy Poultry Clubs. They're going to buy a show. Well, I think they did their due diligence. They kicked the tires in those shows. And what they're showing you is that they're just going to do it themselves because they don't need to buy your show when they think they could do it better. That's one way of doing business. Another way of doing business is finding companies that work well together. They call it synergies, right? Finding that synergy between, you know, two companies. I have to say, this deal makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. It makes sense for both sides, right? And this was why, when it was on the rumor, why, you know, I kind of knew it was happening already when I made the rumor, right? I mean, eBay and Goldin, they've both been attempting to operate in the space that the other operates in. eBay has brought on these marquee type auctions for hobby cards. I've sold cards in them myself to try to attract that high-end card, a space that eBay, they haven't really operated in that high-end space. Sure, there are high-end cards that sell on eBay all the time, but the thought is always, all right, you know, if you're going to sell that big card, it's got to get hobby-specific attention. It's got to be promoted in one of these big hobby auctions. eBay does the lower-end stuff. I don't call it lower-end, but eBay does the, you know, the more common cards, right? The stuff that you see, the more liquid stuff. And what's funny is Goldin, just like PWCC, you name it, they all did the same thing. They all, you know, they wanted to drop down and capture that. So it's funny, right? Because you have these two segments of auctions, right? You have the high-end segment of sports cards and the low-end segment. Just for ease of use, let me go with that. I'm not trying to shit on your cards, go high and low. Just go with me. eBay does a great job, probably better than anybody on that lower end. Goldin was one of a few auction houses. There are quite a few that was doing the high end stuff. Goldin was trying to do the low end. eBay was trying to do the high end. It's a marriage. There's a synergy there, right? And we've talked about how PSA Collectors is trying to get to their roots of grading cards, right? They bought SGC. That's card grading, right? The Collectors has an auction house. Getting rid of the auction house, moving that over to eBay, makes sense. They can focus on their core, which is getting cards in and grading cards. Getting cards in and grading cards. Now, the flip side of this deal is the vaulting. A lot of people don't vault. Some people do. PSA getting that eBay vault, it's something that I don't think eBay did very well anyway, right? They were one of the last to the game in vaulting. I mean, vaults have been around for years. I was vaulting with PWCC 6-7 years ago at least. And I'm sure I wasn't the first one to vault with them. But, I mean, I was buying cards with them on eBay and sending it to the PWCC vault. eBay, you know, this is like a new thing for them. They didn't do it well. Collector's Vault combined with eBay Vault, there's a synergy. It makes sense because think about this, right? There are cards in the eBay Vault now. People are buying cards on eBay all the time. There are raw cards. eBay is a huge source of raw cards where the raw cards are sold. Well, now a raw card in the eBay Vault, PSA immediately can flip them an email. It's like clicking a button. Hey, you have this raw card. Here's an offer from Collectors to grade it with PSA. Or SGC, because it's all under the same Collector's umbrella now. Grade it with us. Here's $6, $8, $9. There are cards in the eBay vault that are graded by other grading companies. Well, Collectors now has those cards available to them. They can send that person who has 100 Beckett graded cards in the eBay vault, hey, we'll cross these all over for you at a discount. It is a synergy, right? eBay and Goldin combined, you now have both ends of the auction market, and no matter what kind of card someone has, they can sell it through that eBay high-end, low-end umbrella. Same thing with Collectors. They want to grade cards. They've now been given access to a huge network of cards, a huge universe of cards that they can grade. They can make offers to people to grade all in one touch. And think about it as like a one universe, right? After it's graded, boom, send it right over to eBay. And I'm sure there's some deal between the two, right? A card that comes in from the eBay vault that gets graded, eBay gets a piece. A card that comes from PSA, SGC that then gets automatically sold to on eBay's platform or Goldin's platform, I'm sure there's a piece. There's a synergy there, right? Because think about it from a collector standpoint. That's the way we try to look at this. If I now want to buy a raw card on eBay, I can automatically send it to PSA, get it graded, PSA automatically send it back to eBay, get it sold. I never even touched the card. A lot less friction there. A lot less me going to the post office. It's all done by them in-house. It's the slot machine we've talked about, just different than the breaking slot machine, right? You can break, pull the slot machine handle, you can break, hope to get more out of that box than you put in, and then put it right back in and open another box. Same thing here. You could sit on eBay slot machine now, buy raw, have it sent over. Hopefully you hit that jackpot PSA 10, send it right back over, and never actually have any bubble wrap or tape or painter's tape on the top loader. You don't have to do the card saver too. You don't have to do any of it. Just boom, boom, back and forth, almost as if it's digital to you. There's a synergy there. And for a hobby participant who's interested in doing what I just talked about, it makes life very easy. The deal makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So much other stuff involved in the hobby, guys, but I try to keep these things to 20 minutes. Hope you enjoy these. Just my take on the deals. The Fanatics event, I got to tell you know, first blush, I probably would go to both of those events. I mean, I live here in Long Island. It'll be about an hour and change to get to each one of them. You know, I'll see who's there on what days and you name it, and maybe I will drive to the White Plains show with my son on Sunday. Maybe I will take the railroad into the city on Saturday and maybe go to the Fan Fest. You know, Fanatics might use facial recognition and not let me in. Who knows? You never know. I might be persona non grata. They might not let me in, keep me away from Tom Brady. Who knows? But listen, I hope you guys are enjoying this. The Cage 6 stuff has been fun this week, man. It really has. Seen these rumors come to light. And stay tuned. I mean, this hobby, I say it all the time, you know, the 1 minute news, I have enough news for 10 minutes every week. It's just the 1 minute that, you know, that makes the cut. Same thing with the rumors, man. I get so many great DMs, so many messages from people. I heard this. There's so many rumors. It's fun. I hope you guys are enjoying it too, because the space is supposed to be that. It's not supposed to be drama and beef and craziness. It's supposed to be an escape for you. It's supposed to be someplace you come to escape the nonsense and craziness that is your ordinary life. It's a hobby. It's supposed to be fun. I hope you have some fun spending 20 minutes with me and those minutes during the week where we do the rumors and the news. If you do have fun, please share it. I don't know, like, subscribe, whatever. I mean, you could do that too. I don't even know how you do it, but that's what YouTube people say. Like and subscribe and smash the buttons, and I don't even know. I hope you're enjoying this. If you are, let me know. If you're not, let me know also. I'll see what I can do to change it. It's been fun, guys. Talk to you soon.